I'm Frank Vaughn. It is May 9th, 2025, and this is The Fulcrum, and we're going to start off the same way we did yesterday by continuing our examination of the Pakistan-India conflict. Looking at an article on India Today, who wants to keep India busy in war apart from a mad Pakistan general? Pakistan's China-made arsenal reveals Beijing's silent role in the conflict. Beijing's role is not silent. They view India as one of their chief geopolitical adversaries. The Americans, though they identify China as an adversary to the empire, India shares a common border and shares a continent with China. Experts warn India may be battling a proxy, not its true strategic enemy. China arms Pakistan and is responsible for 70% of the arms that are sold to Pakistan. One of the interesting things, what are the details, is that Russia sells a significant portion of sells to India a significant portion of the arms that India deploys in its army. There's people out there who are talking about Israel being behind India and pulling all the strings of India and that little Israel controls India. That's not the case. They sell India some drones and some other technology, but it's actually other nations that principally arm India. And it's one of those areas where the weakness, the traditional historical weakness of Russian-Chinese relations is actually exposed. And once again, I bring to the table the case that the West is missing an opportunity. When we failed to settle the dispute in Ukraine peaceably with all the various deals that were on the table and were signed that we failed in implementation, the early days of the war when the war could have been ended and the West and NATO intervened to stop the end of the war, to keep it going, we missed an opportunity to have a broader, I don't want to use the term European Union, but a relationship with Russia, bringing them into the fold, continuing a process that was supposed to have been underway throughout the 1990s and the early aughties. Instead, we've isolated Russia and we've pushed them into a relationship with China, which should have been avoided. But to India and Pakistan, this exposes one of the weaknesses of that relationship. Russia is arming Pakistan, which is a useful satellite of China, in their effort to undermine India. So, more importantly, we're looking at another fault line breaking loose in the world between the principal geopolitical adversaries on the planet, Russia, China, and the United States, and all of their various satellites. So you have to understand this in the greater context. You have an open, raging war in Ukraine. You have the situation in Syria, which pits Israel against Turkey, a NATO member, fighting over what's left of Syria, that Jalani, who is the former ISIS involved terrorist who the West is now celebrating and giving hundreds of millions of dollars to, who is purging Christians and purging minority religious elements, basically trying to advance the whole idea of a caliphate. He may wear a suit. He may speak softly. He may have been given accolades and awards by your principal globalists who we should probably do a proper examination of Syria at some point. There is the hostility with Iran. There is the Yemen situation with the Houthis, who Trump is claiming that situation is going to resolve itself. The Houthis are sick of dying by the thousands to American bombs, and so they've agreed to let Red Sea trade pass without trying to sink it. So maybe that situation's calming down, but at the same time, we have this escalation of hostilities along the Pakistan-India border. All of these things have common threads. They are extensions of the tensions between the geopolitical rivals in this multipolar world that we're living in. And I pray continually that those voices in the world who are sane enough to want peace in Ukraine and are trying to untie this Gordian knot to save the planet from a third world war are successful. One of the principal problems to understanding how the world has changed over the last 20 years is nobody's really tying the pieces together very effectively, or at least that I've seen, and that probably includes me. to see how Russia and China are related in India, Pakistan, Syria, Ukraine, and just about every single nation, how China's moving through Africa, seizing control. Maybe these are themes that we need to build on, because that sense of urgency that took us into the last election seems to have disappeared. Remember elbows up? Remember the threat that Trump was going to crush the Canadian economy and how unfair it was, and everybody was boycotting, and all this emotional outpouring and virtue signaling. And now we've done a vote. Mark Carney's won. And it seems to have just disappeared. Just completely evaporated. I can't remember the last time I read the word elbows up, except it was actually, I do. It was on a beer can, because somebody's trying to successfully market it, and they'll probably do well for themselves. Look at CBC's front page. There's nothing here. Oil prices are down. Pegasus Trust built daycare home, $12.3 million property, more than 150 kilometers away from First Nations. Ground search crews depart in Nova Scotia community where children went missing. Ukrainian couple, measles outbreak, oil prices down, wildfire situation, which is actually pretty important. Israel won't be involved in Gaza, so that's good. The Jews, you know, we got to get our shot in at the Jews. And then we scroll down, and then right here, at issue. Will Carney's meeting with Trump change anything? The urgency's gone, and that's really all I want to highlight here, at least for federal Canada. Meanwhile, provincial Canada, Scott Moe. A new poll shows a high level of anger and frustration in Saskatchewan, driven by years of unconsulted anti-resource policies of the Trudeau NDP government. It also shows there is a clear path forward for Prime Minister Mark Carney. Repeal Bill C-69, which he said on the campaign trail he will not do, to allow for the approval of pipelines, major mining and energy projects, remove the oil and gas cap, and support separation drops significantly. These are the same priorities I have advanced with Prime Minister Carney. We offer and welcome the opportunity for PM Carney to work with our province to build a strong and growing Saskatchewan within a strong and unified Canada, blah, 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 blah. It is my sincere hope that this opportunity is taken. The pacing has slowed down, but the urgency for the West is still there. Premier Daniel Smith, if you watched one of my previous videos not long ago, or you watched the video of her speaking, presented a list of demands on equalization, on oil and gas development, on guaranteed access to tidewater, which the federal government will probably not be able to meet. And people have called this a soft sellout to the federal government. I call it chess. The pacing of the crisis has slowed down measurably. And now we're back to jockeying back and forth. But Western Canada, the people of Western Canada, should feel a sense of urgency, because it's your livelihoods that are being most threatened. Which is why I, again, want to just repeat. You should be making as much noise as possible. Don't listen to the Carla Becks of the world. And for those of you who don't know who she is, she is the leader of the Saskatchewan NDP at the provincial level. Though I swear she is vying for Jagmeet Singh's job, because all she talks about is Canada, and now she's trying to advance a bill which won't pass. And this is the real purpose of the bill. Ostensibly, it is to increase the signature threshold before it triggers an official government response of some kind, and she thinks it should be much harder for people to exercise their democratic voice. It's really bad judgment on her part, but what she really wants to do is introduce this bill and then force the Sask Party to vote it down, so that she can then scream bloody murder that the Sask Party is indeed separatist, because they don't want to make it harder for people to express themselves. This is so counterintuitive. It's so foolish. Even if you're a Federalist living in Saskatchewan, even if you're a Federalist living in the West and you don't want to break up with Canada, I can understand it. I can understand the hesitation about the idea of having a 51st and 52nd state, because America has problems too. There's no guarantees. The only thing that's guaranteed is that if the status quo continues, we're all going to suffer. So the status quo must change, whether it's within the Federation, whether it's as independent entities, whether it's as the 51st state. We got to do something different. We need to be exploring those options. But any provincial politician that's worth their wage right now should be whipping up provincial agitation to strengthen your hand when you go to the feds. Or if you're not whipping it up, at least allowing it to develop. What Carla Beck is doing is counterintuitive to her goal of serving Saskatchewan. Look at the period of time we're in right now as a period of extended negotiations with Ottawa. I don't pretend to know how long this period of negotiation is going to go on. But like I said, everything suggests to me that the pacing has slowed down for a little while. There's going to be a period of talking, probably a couple months before we get any real concrete developments. Maybe it goes on for the full summer into the fall, into 2026. Daniel Smith has set a timeline by saying there will be a referendum or plebiscite, whatever you want to call it, on a number of issues, that sovereignty won't be on it unless there's enough signatures and the people want it, and then the question will be there. And she set 26. So that kind of gives you a rough idea of the timeline that we're working with here. In the meantime, whether you're in the whether you're in the provincial NDP or whether you're in the SAS party or the UCP, you should be encouraging the people to get loud with their voices and organize, because you need to be able to go to the federal government and say, look, we have a national unity crisis. The people are legitimately worried about their futures. They're worried about economic development. They're worried that the federal government is going to crush them, because Mark Carney wrote this book about how Alberta and Saskatchewan have to be sacrificial lambs in the chase to net zero. Even while India and China and all these other nations pollute the world, they're targeting clean little Canada. It makes no sense. But this is the promise of Mark Carney. This is what he told us he was going to do. So the more noise, the more disorderly, not even disorderly, the louder, the more agitated, the more organized, the more cacophonic people are right now, the better it is for them to enter into negotiations, whether you're in the opposition or you're in the government. It's just common sense. If you work for the province, then you want the province to have a strong hand in federal negotiations. Carla Beck is working against her own people's interests, and it's a sad thing. Speaking of sad things, the PPC, well, we're not going to do it that way first. Protest group hoping to add 200-plus names to Pierre Poilievre's Alberta by-election ballot. I find it interesting that this group, which ostensibly has gotten together to highlight how terrible our nomination process is for candidates, only targets Pierre Poilievre. Doesn't seem they're nonpartisan as they claim to be, and that they're just some kind of public advocacy group. It seems that they're targeting Poilievre specifically. And I don't know how people can't figure this out at this point. There's something about the Conservative Party of Canada, led by Pierre Poilievre, that all of the bad actors in this country absolutely fear. They don't want him anywhere near government. They do everything they can to torpedo. Whether it's the media, the Liberal Party, you name it. We've named them all in various videos. I don't need to go over it again, and I don't want to parse the election anymore. God, people are still talking about the election. It's making me nauseous at this point. We've done what we've done, and we're going to move forward, which brings up another point. You can move forward towards provincial autonomy. You can move forward on the sovereignty question. You can raise these issues from the provincial level while at the same time trying to concoct a plan to keep moving forward with federal options. Quebec has divided their efforts up between the Bloc Québécois and the Parti Québécois. The Parti Québécois takes care of the provincial level, and the Bloc Québécois goes to the federal government to advocate. Two avenues driven towards the same objective. Now, admittedly, in Western Canada, things are a little bit different. But this is why I don't subscribe to the binary that you have to be 100% unequivocally for a provincial option or 100% unequivocally for a Unitarian Federalist option through the Conservative Party of Canada. You can do both things at the same time. You can walk and chew gum. It's not that difficult for most people. But at any rate, Poilievre's decided to run in this by-election. I think it's the smart move for the Conservative Party. He's a strong leader. He's an effective speaker. He might have nerfed himself a little bit too much going into the election, but it certainly wasn't Sheerian. It certainly wasn't O'Toole. My God, it wasn't the pit that that man left the CPC in. The Conservative Party of Canada is in actually a really strong spot with only topside potential because the Liberals are at their high watermark. And My principal fear right now is that Carney's going to play his cards real tight. He's not going to do the extremist stuff right now, that we're going to draw this out. And as time keeps passing by, all the bad things in this country just keep getting worse. Whether it's crime and justice, mass immigration, the inflation that's baked in, they say it's under control, but the fact is all the inflation that's occurred to this point is already baked into the prices of everything. So things aren't getting cheaper. They're only getting more expensive. Even at 2 or 3%, it's compounding. All the problems are still right there. Unemployment's now up to its pre-pandemic high. The dollar's on the ropes. This brewing conflict with the United States might still erupt. We're still looking at universal tariffs. And Mark Carney is an extremist, but at any rate, he may play his cards close to his chest, and we may drag this whole process out for another year, 2, 3 years, the entire time of this minority government. Oh, and things are just going to get worse. All of that is to say that the unprecedented concerted effort to undermine the Conservative Party of Canada, not just outside it. I know the Conservative Party has problems. I know they got a Khalistani separatist link problem. There's people in this country who want to carve out a Republic of Khalistan. Some of the people in the Conservative Party are pretty close to those efforts. I recognize the problems with the CPC, but there is something there that a lot of really bad people are very fearful of getting close to power. And as long as that's the case, there has to be value. But that being said, so this is an interesting one. Mario says, if this last election wasn't a sign that the PPC lost the support of Canadians, consider this move the final nail in the coffin. Ill intent, ill-advised, desperation. I now believe that the PPC has one goal and one goal only. It's not to get elected, but rather to fundraise. I don't need to click read more, because the PPC, after the last election, has failed so hard, so miserably, 0.7% of the vote. They have no credibility anymore. They're building nothing. They can't even run candidates properly. They're poorly organized. Max didn't campaign in the Bows. He lost even larger than in the last elections. They're not worth their money. They're not worth their time. They don't have a constitution. They don't actually have any real members. They just have serfs. And they have a four-man board of directors who handle all the money. But what is Mario talking about? PPC Greater Alberta says, we're very proud to announce Jonathan Bridges as your People's Party candidate for the upcoming by-election in Battle River Crowfoot. This is where Pierre Poilievre is running. Now, I have been rightly critical of all of the bad judgment that Maxim Bernier and his people have engaged in. And maybe it's not bad judgment. If their intention was never to win in the first place, which is what I think, I actually think it's a concerted effort to torpedo their own efforts in a way that's subtle to people who aren't actually thinking too hard, which is most of their base at this point. They're not critically thinking at all. They're just absolutists online, calling people names from the comfort of anonymity behind their keyboards, losing any respectability they ever had. If the idea is to just keep a steady stream of people sending in money, then I guess they're meeting that objective. And when it came to Bernier running in all these by-elections, first it was York Centre, and then it was Portage Lisker, where he kicked out the local guy and he came in and he lost 1 in 4 votes. We've talked about all this before. This one was an opportunity for Bernier to run head-to-head with Poilievre. It's the one time he should have done it. And instead, he's decided to either sit this one out in his cottage in the Bows or down in Florida, who cares where he is, and send this guy in. And it's going to go exactly where you think it's going to go. Poilievre's going to win the riding. He's going to be back in the House. He's going to have relevance. And Bernier and the PPC are going to continue to have zero relevance. Now, there's just an interesting thing down here. Rub-a-dub, who follows me, it's the first time I've seen this account, says, meet F.P. Vaughan. Many on-topic pearls of wisdom from this man. Doesn't list the PPC at all. He just says, I convey pearls of wisdom. I do try. And I do talk about the PPC, and I've revealed a lot of the reality of what the PPC actually is. Butter, another guy, says, Frank is a grifter hypocrite who tried to destroy the PPC from within, failed, and then tried again from the outside. These people, all they do is lie and misrepresent. When I was with the PPC, I was about the PPC, particularly the word people. I believed in people. I believed in new political options. I think if you're going to have a Westminster democracy, you've got to have more than two parties. A two-party system in a Westminster-style democracy does not work. You need multi-party. You need, if you look around Europe, European-style democracy thrives when there's more choice, not less. But Canada's heading in the different direction. We spend a lot of our time consumed with this idea that we're not Americans. And yet we copy so many elements of American politics, and we also import so much of their culture. And yet we're in denial about it. And we're heading towards a two-party system, and the only thing that's different is we've inverted the colors. We've inverted the colors. But this idea that I'm a grifter hypocrite, I've done so much to make it so there's no credibility to that claim. Everything I do is free. I don't monetize on YouTube. I don't monetize anywhere. I don't sell advertising. Nobody pays me to say anything. I don't work for a political party. I don't work for an NGO. I'm just a guy talking about the world behind my camera, and I'm not promising you anything. The PPC, their whole mythos is they're promising you a government that will lead to change, but they don't deliver on that promise. They don't even organize to deliver on that promise. They send out solicitous emails. I don't do that. They make these promises they're not going to keep. I don't do that. I literally have a donate link, and I am continually shocked every single time someone clicks on it. And as time moves forward and I start investing in this project, I'm going to continue to be surprised. This is one of the reasons why, in spite of the good advice that all the people out there who are trying to help me, guys that have much bigger presences, I'm thinking Clyde, do something. I'm thinking Wyatt Claypool, these guys that genuinely care about what I have to say, care about my well-being, want to see me succeed. They see my numbers. They think I should be bigger, and they have helpful advice, and I'm thankful for every single one of them and their advice. But this is one of the reasons why I do it the way that I do it, even though it's slower, even though I'm fighting the algorithm the entire time. It's because I want to be immune from this accusation that still keeps coming up that I am somehow just a grift operation. It couldn't be any clearer. But anyway, beside the point, this is the one time Bernier should have actually stepped up, and instead, he's hiding. And with that being said, I just want to say a genuine word of sincere thanks and appreciation for every single one of you, not just the people who donate, but the people who give it so much time. In the last month, collectively, you've spent 5.5 years of your time watching my videos. That's a huge amount of time. It's a big responsibility. And I appreciate it because it's what gives it value. It's what gives it meaning. Now, tomorrow is a special day, I suppose. It's my birthday. And I'm either going to do a live stream, or maybe I'll dedicate tomorrow's video to just reading comments and responding to them from all the videos, because I've fallen behind. I usually try to respond to everybody, but it's becoming impossible, and I don't have time for all the reading and thinking that I have to do in order to keep versed on these things and keep up. But yeah, I'm going to do something special tomorrow. At any rate, I'm Frank Vaughn, and I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.